This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
For number three, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. They're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Bart, we've gotten to hour number three, and you know what that means.
It is the power hour.
I didn't get that one. That wasn't quite, right? It wasn't as crisp.
Yeah, you knew that we had the big man coming on.
So yeah,
you got
I was
too
excited.
Hyped up
and I was
you,
way
It's
hyped.
Not about you overswung, you know what I mean? You didn't hit the sweet spot. It's more about accuracy than it is about the
it
power.
It really is.
And you missed it ahead. See, you want to hit right where it says the and and the H, like right. A little bit.
Sweet spot?
Yeah, right there. See,
there is no spoon. There's no spoon. Aha, no soup for you. Damn it. Chris Candy joins us right now, as he does every week, on the Goodyear Hotline. See, I got it the second time around, but as Bart said, I was a little too excited. The gong wasn't crisp
for you. We have so much to talk to Chris about the foundation.
I know, man.
Yeah, you guys weren't sharp with the gong. I guess that's a reflection of where we're at with New York football, right?
Yeah.
It
yeah.
is. Hey, so what do we think of – we had a caller earlier in the show.
Mel. Oh yeah, I heard it.
You did hear it?
Okay.
And then you heard
Tess's reaction too.
Right, because you knew Tess was coming. And I gotta like where are you on see, Joe Judge after last week's game talked about what they had 9 points, right? And how well, I saw some good things. And then this week with Saquon Barkley in a game where you're like, all right, we need Saquon to be everything. Like, this is why you take him number two. Because I got a backup quarterback. Let's scheme a system where he's just going to show all of his talents and our offense is going to be able to go through him. And instead, he was – all right. Like, he put up some numbers, but some of them were in the back end of a game where, you know, they really weren't playing hard. And he said the run game was moving a little bit better today. Joe Judge is giving us week by week these little morsels of positivity – and now telling us that he sees the foundation being poured and everything else. What is going on with the Giants when it comes to their head coach situation? I think we can all agree front office probably needs a cleaning. But some have said you can't move on from a head coach just 2 years in. You got to stick with him. Do you see the same things that he sees with a foundation being poured and progress being made with this team?
No, I don't, Alan. And to take it a step further, if Joe Judge feels like they have a foundation poured, then tell me what the identity of the New York Football Giants is. Because I don't know what that is. I know what they plan on it being. In terms of salary cap, they allocate the most amount of dollars to the running back position, so it's supposed to be Saquon Barkley and Devontae Booker. But it sure to hell didn't look like it in that game against the Chargers. And by the way, it's great to see the week out on the West Coast actually paid off for the New York Football Giants with the effort that we got from that team in SoFi Stadium yesterday.
That's just nice.
Another one of those miscalculations from Joe Judge. So when we're having a conversation about what do you do with the franchise, especially at the top with general manager and head coach, I don't know how the hell you can make the case for Joe Judge. You are what your record says you are. That's what Bill Parcells used to always tell his teams. And Joe Judge is a coach that's 10-19 at nearing the completion of his second year. So what that tells me is he's a coach that loses twice as much as he wins. And it's quite frankly not good enough. They don't have anything that they can hang their hat on. There's nothing that I can point to and say, okay, there's growth in a positive direction. I actually put the tweet out there yesterday on social media, and you know, a lot of the Giants fans that were out there said the only thing that they have to hang their hat on is hope. In the form of two top 10 draft picks, potentially. We'll see where that Chicago Bears pick ends up landing. But that's where Giants fans are at right now. And, Alan, I would say this. At this point in his tenure, your head coach should be a part of that hope. And I feel like that's dwindling with the Giants fan base. But it's also dwindling with former players of the New York Giants because they see the same things that I see. And it's not good enough.
Wow. Yeah, because Chris put out a tweet, by the way, where he said, serious question, is there anything positive we can say about the current state of the Giants? My response was, I'm positive they need a full house cleaning.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. I don't know about you, Chris, but it really irritates me when somebody tries to ride the coattail of Bill Belichick. They always want to say, well, hey, I've seen it happen. But they got in late on the process. I don't remember, you know, Joe Judge at that point in 37 years old in 1999, 2000, that means he was probably, what, about, I don't know, this 20 years now? He wasn't even around to be able to understand. So, like, we know that he wasn't there to see how the soup was made. but he wants to take credit for, you know, after the foundation, the attention to detail, the mission statement has already been written, and now you want to kind of try and ride that wave to say, hey, I understand we're going in the right direction. Like, but it's got to be hard for a New York fan base or the ownership to say, hey, if we fire him, we're going to look like we don't know what we're doing. But by keeping him, they look like they don't know what they're doing.
Well, yeah, Bart. I mean, it already looks like they don't know what they're doing. Since the start of 2017, the team is 22-55. So whether or not you decide to move on from Joe Judge after year two, which would make him the third consecutive coach that you've hired and fired after 2 years, I mean, I don't think it makes a difference. You're a dysfunctional franchise. I mean, we're getting to, you know, early 2000s Cleveland Browns territory. That's where the New York Giants are right now. That's the state of the program. So for all of the things that Joe Judge is talking about and all of the things that ownership is talking about in terms of their reluctance to make those types of decisions or to part ways with the head coach and the general manager, I would say this. Is the product on the field something that you can be proud of? And from my perspective, it's not. I know a lot of other former players feel the same way, and I know a lot of the fan base feels that way as well. So I think it's obvious the decision that they should make at the end of the season, and that's why I look at yesterday's game as a positive. Because this thing stinks so bad, they have no choice but to actually do something different. They have to tear it down, start from scratch, and they've got to identify some foundational pieces and try to build around that. It's clear to me a couple of things. Number one, Daniel Jones is not a foundational piece, health notwithstanding. Saquon Barkley, not a foundational piece. We've got to accept that as Giants fans. They've got to get to that point. Yesterday, you had an opportunity to see the opportunity costs that the Giants had wrapped up in Daniel Jones throwing touchdowns in the form of Justin Herbert. Remember? That guy that the Chargers took in 2020 with the 6th overall pick, when you had the 4th overall pick, you know why you didn't take Justin Herbert? Because you wanted to see what Daniel Jones could develop into. And then the year before Daniel Jones got drafted, guess who you could have had? You could have had Josh Allen, but you decided that you want a generational talent in a running back. What the hell has that gotten you? So at some point, Giants fans and Giants brass have to admit to themselves the mistakes that they made in trying to rebuild this thing and move on from that.
See, it's a strong statement when you get a Super Bowl champion who won his ring with this franchise, and you can hear the frustration in his voice, and that's what Chris Kenny is giving to us. And it's been pretty much all season you've heard it from Chris. But Chris,
I'm nervous, Alan, because I got to go to the building this Sunday with the game against the Dallas Cowboys. I'm doing an event for the Giants, so I'm nervous right now on your show. They might not like what I have to say right now, but I got to keep it all the way 100, man. I got to keep it 100, Alan, because I keep telling you guys I got blood in the ground at MetLife Stadium, and it hurts me to see the Giants where they're at right now. I don't know that we've seen the Giants this bad in my lifetime. Like, talking to my dad after the game yesterday, like, he's telling me that this feels a lot like the New York Giants 70s. Between 1964 and 1980. And Giants fans that are old enough to remember that know exactly what I'm talking about with the brown paper bags at Giants Stadium. It's starting to stink like that, and something about it has to change.
Would this be a bad time to tell you that I need 4 tickets for a friend, and I'll pay?
No, but I'll tell you what I do want to point out, though, is when you say, Chris, that it's former players – are seeing the same thing you're seeing, which means obviously you're talking. You guys all talk to each other. You stay in touch. When you win a ring, you become family forever. Like, is there any hope? Give a Giants fan hope that the influence of these former players, these guys who were champions with this organization, can have that kind of influence on ownership to say this can't go on. Like, we've got to do something instead of them saying, well, we can't keep turning it over. We got to stick with this and hope it works. Like, is there an influence that you feel like could at least come through here, that they'll listen to somebody?
Well, I think they're going to start realizing, if they haven't already, that they're not headed down the right path. And for all of the tough talk that we've got from Joe Judge about how tough this team is going to be mentally and physically, how they're going to be heads up, situationally aware, that's not what we're seeing. All of the laps that they were running in training camp and throughout practice for mental errors or discipline mistakes, like all of those things, it's not translating to what we're seeing on the field in the games. Like, talking about the running game being able to get going, I mean, it was 24-7 at halftime, and the Giants had ran the ball 9 times for 33 yards. That's not the running game getting going.
Sure.
At least that's not how I see it. So, I mean, you know, there's work to be done, and it's not – the team that Joe Judge promised Giants fans and promised ownership is not the team that we're seeing. So, as much blame as we want to lay at the feet of Dave Gettleman, and rightfully so, because there are a lot of misses on Dave Gettleman's resume – we've also got to start putting some blame on Joe Judge, because the things that he's said he's been trying to do or the strategies that he's been trying to employ, they haven't worked out. I mean, they fired Jason Garrett and they rolled with Freddie Kitchens at the offensive play caller. I got to tell you, I wasn't in love with the flea flicker play that ended up being a throw down at the running back's knees. I didn't love that play, especially in that situation. But that's how bad it's gotten. Outside of gimmicks, the Giants can't consistently move the ball. They'll have a couple of garbage time touchdowns. Yeah. That might make you think that they're closer than they actually are. But I think that because of where things stand and as they continue to devolve, Giants ownership will eventually land on the right answer, which is they've got to move on from not only the general manager but the head coach.
Can I ask you I want to ask you a serious question. And listen, I don't know the right or wrong answer from this. But should the Giants be investing in an upgrade at the running back position? Have we seen the best that Saquon Barkley will ever be?
Wow, Bart. I don't want to say that over the airwaves. I don't want to say that because I don't want to doubt the young man. I know the character that he has. I know the passion that he has. But it's hard for me to think that we're ever going to see the version of Saquon Barkley that we saw in his rookie year. I mean, when you look at the trend, especially as it pertains to running backs, especially guys that were taken in top 10 picks, that history, that track record doesn't bode well for Saquon Barkley and his future production with the Giants. I don't see it. I don't think you were ever going to be in a position where you got the return on that investment, which is why I was against them taking him second overall when you had an aging quarterback, when you had an offensive line that was in shambles. And so, yeah, you've essentially wasted the best years that you were going to get from Saquon Barkley. I mean, I don't know how anybody can sit here and say today, oh, yeah, we're going to get Saquon Barkley that can go from 2,000 yards from scrimmage. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you could place that bet if you were going to Caesar Sportsbook. There's no way. Bart, you're probably right. I don't want to dismiss the possibility that he could have a resurgence in 2022. But, I mean, a lot would have to happen in order for Saquon to have the support to be capable of producing at that level. I just don't see the Giants being able to pull that off.
And the thing with the Giants, too, and that's just why the Saquon thing, you feel for them in a way, because they have, since Gettleman took over, made building and developing an offensive line a priority. And one thing we've learned is they're not good at it. I mean, it sounded like a great plan. We're going to build an offensive line. It starts there. The Giants' great years, they had a great offensive line. Those two Super Bowls you won, right? There's not only a great defense, but a rock-solid offensive line. And I know several of those guys that played on that offensive line. I know how proud they are, too, to wear that blue jersey. And Gettleman tried to reestablish that, but failed miserably. And if you're Saquon Barkley, like, there's some things you got to say where you're like, well, it'd be nice to run, but I can't. It'd be nice to run some of these plays to accentuate all my talents, but you can't when you have no time to do anything. They've done a bad job scheming, developing, and drafting, and also finding offensive linemen to reestablish that part of the game. So that's if you ask what's the biggest failure, Chris, wouldn't you say this, besides Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, which are the easy ones because they're draft picks and they're very high ones, wouldn't you say the failure at offensive line, which was the priority, the first thing he talked about, the hog mollies, that's the greatest failure because he focused so much on it?
Yeah, that's egregious because you invested so much in the way of draft capital and cap dollars in that position group, right? I mean, Nate Solder is the most expensive turnstile in New York City.
Yikes.
And we got a hell of a lot of them in the subways. I mean, Nate Solder, I mean, Joey Bosa was just running around that guy routinely in yesterday's game. Will Hernandez has regressed as a player. Nick Gates got hurt earlier in the season, so that certainly took a lot of steam out of that unit. Yep. Billy Price is a stopgap guy. Matt Skura, the same thing. Andrew Thomas has been a bright spot this season. I didn't expect to see him elevate his play the way that he has, But that's about it. But I will say this, he's a top five pick, guys. Like, that's what you should see in his second year. So, I mean, yeah, the offensive line is bad, but we also can't make excuses for Saquon Barkley because yesterday there wasn't any penetration on the backfield on one of those handoffs, and he ends up tackling himself. He trips over his own feet. So I don't know that it's all on the offensive line when it comes to Saquon's lack of production. I don't know how healthy he is returning back from that ACL injury and being nicked up earlier this season. So there are a lot of factors that come into play when we start discussing why the Giants can't consistently have a running game that they can lean on. And then, oh, by the way, you have Mike Glennon out there who feels like a quarterback that really doesn't have any business even in a backups role in the National Football League. So, yeah, there's a lot that's wrong with the New York Giants, and I think you're going to have to get a fresh set of eyes in here in the organization in order to get to a lot of these problems fixed. Because right now, the failures seem like they're systemic.
Yeah, they do. Now, I can't let you go without – we talk about something at least a little bit positive from one of your former teams, and that's the Dallas Cowboys.
How about them, Alan?
Were you proud to see the defense play again back to that potential? We saw – the story always about Dallas has been, boy, if they can get that defense just to be mediocre, they could be a championship-caliber team. Well, the defense has been more than mediocre, especially with the return of Randy Gregory and obviously what Parsons has become. And yet, the offense is the thing almost sandbagging this team right now. But still, what did you see yesterday in your Dallas Cowboys?
First of all, let me say this. Everybody that's saying Micah Parsons should be in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year, welcome to that conversation. We've been talking about that on Kenny and Golic Jr. for the last month or so. The guy is a human wrecking ball. I love the fact that he's a pressure player, but he's also really, really good in coverage. I mean, he can drop in the middle of the field and be really effective in terms of being able to read all of those in-breaking routes and be a disruptive force in that way. But the Cowboys also getting Randy Gregory back and DeMarcus Lawrence back is huge. You saw the play that Randy Gregory made, the interception. You see the turnovers that they're able to force, scoring on defense. I think that's huge. So yesterday, we got to see the three most important pressure players that the Cowboys had, DeMarcus Lawrence, Gregory, and Micah Parsons on the field together. Guys, prior to yesterday's game, we'd only see 28 snaps with those guys on the field at the same time. But so that's important, being able to get that group back. But the formula for success with them, being able to generate turnovers, they're second in the league with 27, and then being able to get off the field on third downs. They are the number one defense in third down efficiency. That's going to be important for this team. Now, the downside to what we're seeing from the Cowboys, Allen, they can't run the football when it matters. I mean, I said it in that game that they won against the Saints. I'll say it again based on what we saw yesterday. Late in the second half, double-digit point lead, and you can't salt those games away. You can't close those games out because you don't have an effective running game. You can't really run the football unless you know you got to run it, they know you got to run it, and they can't stop it. The Dallas Cowboys are not one of those teams that can line up and run the football, and they should be based on what they have up front on their offensive line and what they have in the backfield.
Where do you rank them as far as Green Bay, Tampa, Arizona? Now, I know that you probably believe that, and I believe that they can beat one of those teams, but I also can see them getting upset and beat by one of those teams as well. Like, where do you see them as far as the power ranking? Because I think that all the best teams in the NFL is in the NFC.
Yeah, I would probably say they would be third in that group. If you're looking at the division leaders in the conference, I would put them third. I still don't buy into Arizona yet.
Still?
Wow.
After what they did to the Rams?
No, listen,
they probably have to face the Rams. Dallas will probably have to face the Rams first.
They will tell me a lot about what they are tonight. We'll learn more about Arizona as this thing goes on, okay? We'll figure out more about that squad. But, I mean, in terms of trusting them once we get into the postseason, knowing how football changes – the Dallas Cowboys up front on both sides of the ball have the potential to be dominant. They do. And they can take the football away. So I like what they're bringing to the table. Not to mention when their offense is clicking, like they are one of the most elite units in all of football. The one thing we got to watch out for, though, guys, Dak Prescott and his health. I don't know that Dak is all the way back from that calf injury either. Like the first 3 weeks of the NFL season, Dak was one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. He had a 115.2 passer rating. In the six games since the calf injury, guys, he's got an 82.8 passer rating. Touchdown to interception ratio through the first 6 weeks, 4-1. Touchdown to interception ratio since the calf, 8 TDs to 6 interceptions. Wow. So I don't know how healthy Dak is, so we got to watch that. But in saying that, Allen and Bart, I feel like Kellen Moore has to have that much more urgency in figuring out a way to consistently run the football just to take some pressure off of Dak. But the good thing about it is they beat the Washington football team, which was the closest team in the NFC East to them. So it feels like that was the knockout punch for them to win the division. They'll have the last four games to be able to figure out the run game and everything else that they've got to do and tune this thing up for the playoffs. So I would put the Dallas Cowboys third in the conference. I think the top two teams are clearly Green Bay and Tampa. And I would probably give a slight edge, the slightest of edges, to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just because they got that dude, Tom Brady.
Yes, they do. All right, Chris, we're going to leave it right there. It's great to catch up with you as always. Thanks so much, my man.
All right, I appreciate it. Bart, do something with your Jets, man. They're awful.
Do something with your Jets, but listen, but this is the thing. We accept that we're awful. You guys are awful. You act like you don't know it.
Well, no.
Fair point. That is a fair point. That is absolutely a fair point.
All right, that was Chris Candy giving us that Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So how about those Jets and what the hell's going on there? And I'll tell you what, I walk away from that game with a greater concern about their decision with the number two pick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll explain why coming up next. But first, Bart's going to tell you about Vivid Seats.
With the safe return to live events, you can actually be there to catch all the action in person with Vivid Seats. That's right. Every alley-oop slam, every one-timer, every sideline grab can be experienced live. And with Vivid Seats rewards, you can earn rewards like free tickets. All you have to do is collect stamps, redeem, and repeat. It's that easy. From upper level to courtside, Vivid Seats has you covered for all the events that matter to you. So grab your tickets today and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. That's Vivid Seats. Life happens live. Back after this.
Hey, everyone. This is Chris Canty.
And Mike Golic Jr. from Canty and Golic Jr.
Wishing you a happy holiday season.
From all of us right here at ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Rodgers says after this game where he looked spectacular, admitted that the toe issue he's been dealing with has gotten worse.
So prove that you're one of the best, man. Cut it off, man. You don't have sandal feet anyway. Like, nobody cares. It's just a pinky toe.
You did all this for a pinky toe?
Well, it's a valuable appendage.
Have you seen Shaq's toes? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I should be a foot model compared to some of these... these dudes' feet.
Like I said before, I'm a toe expert.
Yes,
all right.
But I'm the real toe expert.
Welcome back, Bart and Han. We're brought to you by Goodyear, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. Little Danny California for you there. I like some red hot chili peppers. Mm-hmm. You like some chili peppers?
I love some chili peppers.
You love some chili peppers? You know what I also love? I love good quarterback play. And, well, let's just say the Jets had the number two pick in the draft, and you thought this was a real heavy quarterback draft. And you were thinking, okay, they got a good chance to get a really good quarterback.
Yeah, generational.
And they didn't. I mean, it's really a concern. So he has 6 touchdowns now against 11 interceptions.
Yeah.
His completion percentage is 56.1.
Yeah, not great.
Let's compare that to some other Jet rookie quarterbacks, shall we? The last one was Sam Darnold. In his rookie season, he went 17-15 touchdowns interceptions. I repeat, Zach Wilson is 6-11 his 56% percentage, completion percentage, Sam Darnold was 57.7. How about we go to Geno Smith?
Mm-hmm. He had a great first year.
12 touchdowns, 21 interceptions. 21 interceptions is a lot. I mean, it's brutal, right? Yeah, you know, Geno liked to throw it to the other team. So that's pretty bad, 12 to 21. But he's still at 12, right? His 55.8% is worse than Zach Wilson. But if that's the standard we're comparing it to, oh, well, he's better than Geno Smith, that's not quite really what we're looking for. And then your guy, Mark Sanchez, I don't know if you know this, but he threw 12 touchdowns, 20 interceptions.
Did he?
Yeah. 53.8%, which is worse than Zach Wilson. So, the thing is though, that was a great team, and he didn't have to throw the ball that much. Defense was insane. But Zach Wilson, as I watch him more and more, I can't help but wonder.
I'm discouraged.
Did they make the wrong pick?
I mean,
there's five guys starting right now as rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And Davis Mills being one of them. And Zach Wilson might be the worst of them.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But that doesn't mean he has to stay the worst of them. And what I'm saying is,
how do you make it better if he – I mean, he's playing – and he doesn't. You could just see it
for him.
He's overwhelmed right now.
One, I think he has too many voices. Right, the fact that he has his own personal coach. You got Beck talking to him. Who I'm waiting for him to have to be. If he's on the coaching staff now, I want to see him have to come to the podium and explain himself because he's the guy that coaches basically only one person.
Right.
He doesn't coach the quarterbacks. He coaches that quarterback because Matt Kavanaugh is there to coach the other quarterback. So, you know, maybe it's just too many voices. Mechanics are horrible. And if you were his coach, his personal coach, before he got to the league, then you should be able to get him to be able to at least have his fundamentals together. I mean, he said, oh, well, I threw the screen pass that skipped to Berrios. I didn't grab the laces. That's a you problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I need him to stop talking to Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Drew Brees wasn't going to give you no – like, talking to Drew Brees, you need to start with Cleo Lemon. Start with somebody that's at your skill set right now that can tell you how to play. Like, start at Kellen Moore. Like, start there. Not Kellen Moore, Kellen Clemens. Whatever
it is. Clemens.
Start there, bro. Like, you call it – I talked to Tom Brady. I mean, what did he say? He talked to Aaron Rodgers. He reached out to Drew Brees. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. You're not there yet.
Those guys could see the problem. You don't, like, his thing is, it's like he's learning a new language and he can't speak it fluently. That's legit what this is. This is a guy who's learning a new language, but he's in the country already trying to speak it while he's learning it. And it's just, it's a bad
it's,
look.
It's too much
and
for
it
him.
Looks bad for him. And it looks bad for the Jets.
Yeah.
Everything. It all right now just looks bad. And it's hard to feel good about, well, I could see promise. I at least saw with Sam Darnold something.
Yeah.
Like, I saw something where I'm like, you know, there might be something special in this guy. I don't see it in Wilson because you just see too many mistakes.
Then
when he does have a couple of good passes in a row, Denzel Mims has to do things that now I understand why they bench him.
Yeah.
Because he does some dumb things.
Yeah, he's frustrated.
You could tell that he's not a disciplined player.
Well, he's frustrated there, right? He's getting in at the last second. He's had a tough year. You talk about COVID, food poisoning. You know, okay, he had a bad case of COVID as well too. But what I want to talk about is, you know, when I look at, I have less concern for Zach Wilson than I do for Trevor Lawrence, because Trevor Lawrence played three solid years of football, starter, high level, right? When I look at Zach Wilson, he just doesn't have the experience. He hasn't played enough, so he's not versed in seeing the game. I think as good as he needs to see it, and I think that, you know, once they approve the team in front of him, that he'll be a little bit better. And this is the part where you break the kid all the way down to nothing, right? Because we did see promise against the Philadelphia Eagles, right? He looked bad against Houston when he came back. He looked good against the Eagles, and he looked bad against the Saints, who has a tremendous defense. You got guys that can lock down on the back end.
They
got one of the better secondaries. You think about Roby. You think about Latimer. That's why Mims and nobody could get open. You know, Elijah Moore. And also Marcus Williams is going to be a team that I think a player that the Jets should be going after in this free agency, as Marcus May, I think, disqualified himself with the injury. You have to go with somebody that's like him. I think him and Jeremy Bates are two of the best safeties in the league, and they're going to be free agents. Let's see if they get franchise tagged or if they get an opportunity to go test the market, as you look at the Saints not going to have a lot of money for some reason to be able to sign, you know, a lot of their players and retain them. They have to pick and choose who they're going to, you know, commit to long term. And I'm just hoping that the Jets can do one thing. No matter who's playing quarterback, I think they have a unique opportunity to build this offensive line in short order. I think as soon as as soon as next year, maybe having a top five offensive line in the league next year. So, I mean, I'm hoping that they continue with the because we see one recurring theme, whether it's Dak Prescott, whether it's Patrick Mahomes, whether it's Ryan Tannehill, whether it's Carson Wentz. When you have a great offensive line or good to great offensive line, all things are possible. Anything's possible. Run game's possible. Screen game's possible. Passing game's possible. And the Jets have a unique opportunity to have one of the youngest offensive lines that's going to be together for a long time and be able to dominate people. I think, you know, that's why I'm so encouraged. I just hope they have the foresight to say, hey, don't go out and get a corner and do all these things with the draft. Go get offensive linemen. I say draft one, buy one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's what – and Joe Douglas has made that a focus each year, just piece by piece. Vera Tucker is proving to be a really good draft pick, at least for this year. So, and then Becton, you probably won't see him for the rest of this year, but they got to make sure this offseason is a huge one for him so he comes back and he gets back to showing that promise that he showed as a rookie. Let's take Jared in New York real quick. Jared.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? What's going on? How's everybody doing
good
today? Good. I don't want to use the word overwhelmed because who am I? I've never made it to the professional level. But I know he's a rookie, and what you guys are saying is correct today. But I think he's a little enamored with himself by being in the league, and I say that because did you notice on that run that he had yesterday? When they showed the replay, you could see in his eyes he was looking up at the Megatron as opposed to looking downfield to see what other yards he could possibly get.
No. That's not.
He was looking to see if somebody was chasing him.
This is the thing, right? He's been under pressure to get down, and he has to look up. A lot of people look up. Devin Hester used to look up all the time because you want to see if somebody's coming from behind because you can see what's in front of you in your peripheral, but also looking up, letting you know if somebody's walking you from behind because right now guys are so good at slapping the ball out or punching it out.
It's funny, though,
that having a fumble.
We think of I do think he loves him some him.
He does.
He does love him some him. But
that's why this is so
I don't think
great
he was
him.
Watching himself run on the big board.
Look at me.
I think he was looking up saying, is anybody that close to me? Should I get down at this point? So that's where we're at with that. All right, let's finish with your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We want you to tune into ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. It's presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily. Available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. So we'll get to your calls next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
This is the College Football Playoff Semifinal. Alabama-Cincinnati in the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic. Followed by Michigan-Georgia in the Capital One Orange Bowl.
Say my name. All the nights are dedicated to the king.
Coverage begins at 2:30 Eastern New Year's Eve on ESPN Radio and on ESPN. Bart and Hahn.
Welcome back, Bart and Hahn. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, presented by Progressive Insurance. Hey, if you missed any part of this show today, and we've had some fun today, as we always do, and Bart at the very beginning of the show told an amazing story as this weekend he went home.
To the home going to my grandmother.
Yep, grandmother's funeral. And the story itself just is one of those, if you missed it, you need to hear it. And if you did that or missed any of the 3 hours of the show, you can find Bart and Hahn posted daily as a podcast, and it's available wherever you listen to podcasts. Just hit subscribe, and you won't miss a thing. You can always see us on ESPN Plus as well. And Bart, if they were watching today, they'd see this great sweatshirt. You see this hoodie I got on today?
Revolution.
A little revolution. I want to shout out my girl Nancy. I went to school with her back in the day at St. Anthony's, and she's now she's a great job. And she's turned this into spin instructor, turning into a great business. The Revolution. I want to shout out the Revolution Spin up in Clifton Park, New York, and appreciate them. I love repping them because the gear is good, but also what they do is even better. So shout out to them for that and also for the hoodie as well. I got some Knicks stuff heading your way, Nancy, by the way. Thank you so much. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's go, Bart, to the calls to finish up the show. And let's go here to Martin. Hey, Martin, how you doing?
Good. Hey, thank you. I'm a refugee from Egomania Radio down the other where Bart used to work. But thanks for being a good listen.
I appreciate that. Hey, like I said, you know, when people say, I wish you still talked New York, it's like, yeah, no, we do, and we're still on in New York. So thanks for changing the dial for us. Stay here.
Okay, cool. Hey, listen, you know, I know Zach Wilson's a rookie, he's a young man, but when I saw those beautiful lasers darting all over the field yesterday with absolutely no touch and landing harmlessly on the hash marks and skidding for 10 or 15 more yards, he reminded me a lot of Jeff George, guys.
Ooh, ooh, good arm, but yeah, accuracy issues.
Well, what does accuracy come
into? Interesting, Martin. Thanks for the call.
Because when you talk about that, you talk about Josh Allen, who was horrible with his accuracy, but he went to the lab and he changed the way he throws and opened up his stance a little bit more, and it made all the difference. The difference is he was able to get away with certain sins because the competition, the guys were wide open. So now it's tighter spots, anxiety because he doesn't recognize what he's looking at. He's not comfortable in the
I think his size is an issue too.
He's definitely going to have to put on like 30. Like 10 pounds of muscle.
Talking about height.
No, it's not that. You know, because you can see through the same lanes because when you have pass rushers, they open up and you got the same lanes you run through, you pass through Michael Vick, Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson. He's taller than all those guys. I am concerned with his build. He needs to add some muscle on.
All right, let's go to David. Hey, David.
Hey, Bar. Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to say about Justin Fields. I feel like he should have been drafted. Anywhere between 1 through 7. You got Zach Wilson out there, and for the Jets, I mean, I felt like he should have sat and they should have had a veteran, you know, quarterback.
It's amazing, David. But I just said that to Bart during the break. I just said that to him. That's really – if the lack of experience from him in college made me feel like you shouldn't have thrown him to the Wolves this year. Shouldn't have done it. Should have Mahomes'd him this year.
Yeah, but then you had to spend money for somebody to come in. You know, you would have had to spend money for somebody to sit around, and there was nobody good enough. See, it's like different for Trey Lance because he has Jimmy G, a guy who's took a team to the Super Bowl, a guy who, when he's actually healthy, has like a 70% win
percentage.
Wasn't
the plan to keep Sam and draft Zach and just kind of let the
two of them figure it out? But tell you what, how's that second-round draft pick looking now? That's looking real sweet, right? Because that's gonna get you your Alshon Jeffries. That's gonna get you Elijah Moore. That's gonna get you some stud receiver that's gonna be a beast.
So
would you rather have Sam Darnold sitting on the roster now and him learning from him, or would
at
you rather have
million?
Or
I
would you
it.
Or would you rather have like the eighth pick of the second round?
Yeah, I mean,
that Sam Darnold pick is turning looking real sweet because it's the second round because played enough.
Nothing's looking better than Jamal Adams, but I'll tell you what, Seahawks, you want to root for them to lose, not win like they did yesterday. All right, so we have one more game tonight for this week, and it's Monday Night Football. And you believe that the Cardinals are going to win this game. If they do, Bart, they're the first team to clinch a playoff spot.
Yeah, man. Listen, they've only lost two games. They didn't have their quarterback or their best receiver for a month.
Yeah.
Yo, we talk about how they're a finesse team. They're not a finesse team, man.
Yeah. So you're believing more and more in who you call Baby Yoda. You're believing more and more.
Well, I'm believing in that running game and Cliff Kingsbury adjusting his system, much like, you know, it looks like it's a finesse game. Remember how the Rams people used to think it was finesse, but it was really Todd Gurley running the ball down your throat? James Conner has been that. He was that for the Steelers. He just couldn't stay healthy.
I'll tell you what, this week's going to be interesting. Wednesday, the unofficial start of the NBA trade season. We'll have some rumors for you tomorrow. Stay tuned for that. Bart, I'll see you tomorrow.
Aha.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.